You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our number is 564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com to listen to past programs and find real estate information. You can call me after the program at 452-CHAT, 452-2428. Welcome back if you've just tuned in. You're about a half hour late. We start the program at 6 minutes after the hour, but thanks for joining me, talking with Margot Zenn from Diversified Mortgage. I want to hear some of your stories about the different mortgages and how it affects rates, but this is kind of a problem that I'm working on, and I'm not certain how to find the answer, Margot.
Okay.
But we have these Today in History highlights, and I pulled this up on April 30th, and back in 1803, the United States purchased the Louisiana Territory from France. Okay?
Okay.
$15 million, April 30th, 1803. Now, 7 months later, November 30th, 1803, it says Spain completed the process of ceding Louisiana to France, which had sold it to the United States. So I'm thinking, is this a double escrow?
It's a reverse double escrow.
It's a reverse double escrow. It would be a reverse. Why didn't the U.S. just buy it directly from Spain? So Spain had control. So in your travels, if you run into that answer, maybe you could call us up and explain
okay.
that. I'm trying to figure that out. It kind of bothers me.
Yeah.
So, okay. People usually, you get a loan, a traditional 30-year loan. Give us the scoop on some changes that are happening.
Well, there's definitely some changes happening there. I think that a lot of the people that are against the interest-only loan are for the 40-year mortgage loan, and it makes some sense. Keeping everything the same, interest rate and all that stuff, I would choose a 40-year mortgage over a interest-only loan only because your payments are lower, but still some of your payment is going towards your principal balance in that 40-year mortgage. So, 40-year mortgages, they've been on the market for the last couple of months. I did read a quote from that same California Association of Mortgage Brokers president, and he did say that one quarter of all the loans closed in California are 40-year mortgages.
What?
That's what his quote was, although I'd caution that because a lot of those 40-year mortgages are part of those hybrid adjustable rate mortgages we were talking about earlier, where it's a 3-year fixed and then it goes to the remainder being a 40-year amortization. So people aren't going to keep them out for 40 years. But more popular lately is a 40-year fixed loan that I believe Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are going to start supporting. So we will see those come on the market more and more as those things get rolled out. And I think it will be a more popular choice. Now, let me read you. I found this article on the website. I believe it's a website out of the United Kingdom called Guardian Unlimited. And we'll quote the gentleman that wrote it, Tony Levine. It was on Saturday, June 8th, 2002 that he wrote it. But here is what he said. In Japan, interest-only loans lasting up to 100 years are very common, with the mortgage being passed down through generations.
Oh, you can assume the loan.
So I guess the terms get longer and longer, you can start willing them to your children.
100-year loan. Of course, Japan, all the articles we read about, Japan just really hit the skids with the huge real estate bust.
Right.
And a lot of people, I know there's a lot of ways to say why the United States doesn't compare at all to Japan. And one of the things I read recently was the influx of people that we have, that Japan being so small and just our increase in population
right.
where people need housing.
Right. And that's kept the supply down, which has really pushed prices up. I think that's one of the biggest factors of why, especially in California or maybe the whole West, why things have gotten so expensive. I think that's part of it. I think the other part of it is these other loan alternatives that make it more affordable to buy something you might not have looked at, 4 years ago.
So here I thought I was coming on trumpeting this 50-year mortgage, and you trump me with a 100-year loan. Now, it's funny you mention inheriting the loan. I seem to recall reading most loans, at least fixed-rate loans, are not assumable.
Correct.
Adjustable rates can be assumable.
Well, it depends. FHA loans are still assumable,
okay.
Although we don't do very many of those in the West because the average loan amount is so small, nobody qualifies anymore.
Now, I thought I read something about a story where a mom died. She had a fixed-rate loan. Are you aware of any provisions that would allow the assumption of a loan from a parent who died?
I think there's probably some cases of that, depending on how the property was vested, which means if it was vested in the name of a trust,
mm-hmm.
and the trust was able to sign as the borrower or the guarantor of the note, then I believe it can be. But that is not my level of expertise at all.
That's an interesting point. A lot of people buy a house, establish the loan, and then they decide, hey, maybe we should establish a trust. So then it's clearly, you know, the house is vested in the trust and the loan is the individual.
Correct. And that's most of what you see, although that is changing. I've probably done more loans in the trust without pulling them out of the trust this year in 2005 than I probably ever have.
Does that complicate things?
I think it's gotten more simple, which is nice. That's why we didn't do it before, because it was so complicated. But I think their trusts are written more simply now than they used to be, so it's easier to do.
Okay, so these 40-year mortgages, even though I seem to have heard about it a long time ago, you're saying they're just really now getting some legs and being supported by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac.
And they're not supported by them yet.
And
I think everything that I've read, I believe they will be. Here's this article that I pulled up under a San Diego paper, the Daily Transcript. I think yesterday or the day before, it says here, in May, Fannie Mae confirmed that the mortgage giant plans to expand its purchase of 40-year mortgages, making such mortgages available to additional lenders. So what that means is, for example, a Countrywide or a Wells Fargo will book them and then sell them or securitize them with that corporation. So it allows them to be able to do it because somebody else is going to back them.
Interesting. Interesting. Let's move in. We mentioned earlier about being licensed and being credible. And I saw this article in December 31st, 2005 of someone trying to start a loan fraud registry. There's a rapid expansion of independent mortgage brokers. It says here that back in the 1980s, they wrote maybe an estimated 20% of the loans in the 1980s, and now in California, there are about 25,000 mortgage brokers who accounted for perhaps 80% of the loans, according to the California Association of Brokers.
Probably higher in some other states, too.
Oh, really?
I believe it would be. You know, in the states where the large banks like Wells Fargo and B of A and some of those places don't have a real good foothold.
And you've done what, about 80%, 70% out of the 80%?
Probably.
That's probably your share, big market share.
Yeah, I wish.
It says nationwide independent brokers account for 68% of U.S. home loans and employ 418,700 people. You can go to a website to check. Brokers are licensed by the California Department of Real Estate. Brokers who are must undergo a criminal background check. And you went through that?
Yes.
And you're still...
And all my loan reps do as well.
Okay. And
they still let me have a license.
And you're still... Well, you know, you weren't on for 3 or 4 years. I didn't know where you were. And you get visits. The DRE, Department of Real Estate, the website that you can check out is www.dre, that's Department of Real Estate, .ca.gov. And dre.ca.gov. And then you can enter the broker's name and check license status. But
it also has a place for public comment.
Oh.
So if anybody's ever filed a complaint against a loan officer or a loan broker or a real estate broker or a real estate officer for that matter, we're all licensed under the same license in California.
Well, I was on CircaCity.com looking at a CD burner that Jaron was helping me find. And there was a part that morphed into, customer comments. And there were people saying, yeah, I liked it because of this. I didn't like it because of that. So maybe we should do that for real estate agents and lenders.
Well, I think this is a little more serious than that. I think the only time it shows up on there is if it's been determined by the Department of Real Estate that there was that you've been sanctioned for whatever reason, and it does show on there. And a lot of times the Department of Real Estate will sanction somebody without taking their license away. So these people are still able to practice but have gone under some restriction, and you can see that on there. And it gives a pretty good explanation. Of course, don't go to my part of the website because we don't have any. The F word's not in our vocabulary. but you can see that on there. And there are more and more real estate agent and loan brokers sanctioned every day because I think there is a lot of that going on in this state and other states as well. And, you know, as the industry gets bigger and harder for the Department of Real Estate to regulate, I think you'll see more and more of that.
But you told me something right before the program that I didn't know, because I was just assuming that everyone who was out there doing loans was licensed.
That's incorrect.
And there's an example here where a guy was getting his Lexus repaired, and the salesman tried to interest him in a new car. And he says, well, I sell cars on the weekends, and I do mortgages during the week. He said, do you have a license? He said, no. So, and then there was this, what was it called, a financial lender's license? Or,
yeah, there's several ways you can do it in the state of California. And again, here's what gets weird about it is each state regulates the loan, lending and real estate are regulated separately state to state. There's no federal regulation that overrides the states for the most part. There are some federal lending regulations that we all follow called RESPA, which is the Real Estate Settlement and Procedures Act, which has overridden any state regulations with that because it's more restrictive. But for the most part, licensing is a state-by-state mandate, and every state is a little bit different, and some states still don't have any licensing requirements. But in the state of California, there's three ways an entity can enact mortgages. There's the Department of Real Estate, which is the most popular. There's what's called a CFL license or a Consumer Finance Lending License, which is a different group of, I believe it's under the Department of Consumer Affairs, but don't quote me on that. And then there's also a large Department of Corporations license, which most of the larger banks have, and that allows their loan officers to work with under their license without having their own background check and their own licensing, you know, kicks made. So,
and you see that with major banks that you could just walk in off the street.
Correct.
We don't want to mention any names.
And most major banks do their own background checks, but not all of them. So you just never know maybe what you're going to get there. Not that the Department of Real Estate is any, grand regulator, because they're really not. But, at least there's something.
Yes, maybe if they do this and then you get lenders and real estate agents who commit fraud, then maybe they have to register. So when they move into a place, kind of like Megan's Law.
Yeah. I don't know about that, Mark.
You know what? Would you want to live next to a loan officer who committed fraud?
Of course not.
Borrow some money.
Yeah.
Margo Zen, Diversified Mortgage. You can find her on my website, RadioRealEstate.com, under sponsors, and contact her through her website or phone number. Santa Barbara number, 708-3216, 708-3216. Finally, the most important question and the last question. Margo's husband, Mike, I finally got him to go to a different Chinese restaurant to taste the orange chicken. He's addicted to orange chicken at Shanghai. So much so that he would, you know, maybe go for lunch and dinner. He's just got some kind of problem with orange chicken. And so we took him up to this other place, the Szechuan place. Now, what was said in the car after the restaurant that I didn't...
You know, Mark, I'm going to take the fifth on that because I don't want to make any enemies for you there.
Okay.
They were both very, very good.
They were good, right? Mm-hmm. It was good.
He has been known to go to Shanghai twice in an evening. Just so you know.
I just wish I had his metabolism.
Yeah, we all do.
Oh, man. Margo Zen, Diversified Mortgage. You know, you did a great job. We'll see you in another 3 or 4 years.
Well, thank you, Mark. I enjoy your show.
Thanks, Margo.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. It's about 9 minutes to the hour. We're going to come back with the fourth and final segment, unless we go into overtime, and we'll do the weekly multiple listing and sales update.